The Jeep Grand Cherokee 4xe plug-in hybrid is built for the best of both worlds. For the city buzz, for the call of the wild, for finding solitude, for sharing memories, for day trips, and for far-roaming adventures. Because with gas and electric capability, the Jeep Grand Cherokee 4xe inspires you to explore more, to explore it all. Tap the banner to learn more. Jeep is a registered trademark of FCA US LLC.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
Some spiciness back in our studios today. Some beef. Pat, Nuno. I don't know where Javonte is on that. I think that Pat is not letting Javonte defend Nuno. Mm-hmm. And that's just going right at him. Is that correct?
That's literally what's happened. Because Javonte's like, no, this is kind of what you said and what you meant. And he just starts screaming at him.
And like, this is all about the fan rules, regulations, appropriateness with fans.
Yeah,
right?
About being like, is it your fault if you get punched in the face for wearing a Giants jersey in Philadelphia?
No, it's the fan.
Well, according to Pat, it is. No, Canty, according to Pat, you deserve it because you provoked it by showing up in a Giant jersey,
which is utterly ridiculous.
Not what I said.
I mean, the fan that shows up to the visiting team stadium. Like that is a fan that has paid their hard-earned money to go watch that game.
Yes.
They should be allowed to watch the game without feeling like they could get punched in the face. Like, that should not be hanging over them. That shouldn't be a thing.
Right, but it does because it happens. So, like, you know what you're getting into. If you're walking into that and completely being like, oh, yeah, nothing's going to happen, like, that's a little bit on you because you've seen it happen in the past and you know it could happen. You know it's a hostile environment.
So we're going to blame the victim in this one, Pat.
We're just
blaming, and if you show up to said place wearing a certain item, then you're asking for it.
It's not what I'm saying.
That's not what I'm saying. That's what it sounds like you're saying.
Canty, also.
That's what it sounds
also,
like.
You're twisting my words.
If we as the home fans start berating you, you better not try to defend yourself because then we're definitely going to punch you in the face. Did you not say that, Pat?
I said it could happen.
I think there's...
This is now becoming like a Philly thing.
He's
like,
not entirely wrong about something. Here's not the physical aspect of it.
Okay.
If you're a sports fan and you wear the opposing jersey to your rival stadium, arena, whatever it may be, you're instigating.
No, you're not. You're existing.
You're being a fan.
You're existing.
You're unintentionally instigating.
Because I showed up to watch my team play at your stadium... That shouldn't be a problem. That should not be.
But
a
it is.
I agree.
Like,
but
your
it is.
Behavior.
But you guys are looking at this
be...
like it's in a vacuum. We're not in a vacuum. Like we're all people who feel things about these teams that we care deeply about. So yeah, if you come into the stadium that I go to, maybe weekly, if you're like a season ticket holder, I'm going to feel a certain way. Of course, that's going to happen. We all have emotions.
No, if you are so jacked up about your team that you can't coexist in the same space with someone who is cheering for the opposition, that's a scary thought.
I don't know. It sounds like a sense of entitlement, kind of like that guy that showed up at the garage that was 4 hours late for his appointment and demanded service at that point. Like, nobody else has a right to go watch the game? Like, none of the other fans from the other team have a right to come watch the game?
You can, but you shouldn't be surprised if you get berated.
I mean,
that's my point.
I would not wear an opposing jersey to a game.
I think I'm going to go see the Blues play the Rangers in New York City at Madison Square Garden this weekend. You better believe I'm going to wear my Blues
hat. No one's going to bother you.
Does that mean I should get punched in the face? Because
I'm not suggesting that.
In Pat's America, yes.
In Costello's America, I should expect to get punched in the face.
That's what it sounds like.
I know.
My dad went to every single game home and away during my pro career. Played for the Dallas Cowboys, played for the New York Giants. That's 8 years in the NFC East. My dad went to the Eagle Stadium every time we played in Philadelphia. And I had to make sure that there was somebody with him because I knew he was going to wear my jersey. And those fans would have things to say about him and potentially threaten him. Like,
aren't you confirming Pat's point?
I'm confirming it, but that shouldn't be the case.
Yeah,
that's different.
That's not something that should happen.
And what is different. You guys are saying it shouldn't be the case, and I agree, it shouldn't be the case, but it is the case.
It sounds like you're condoning it.
It's just what exists.
The existence of it is okay. The fact that it happens is okay. We just have to accept
well,
that.
Well, what am I going to do? I can't stop all of America if they want to fight people.
I thought Costello's America.
In Costello's America, you're saying that this is okay. In Costello's America, these people are asking for
it. I'm not saying it's okay. I'm saying it exists. I'm saying it happens weekly. And there's probably going to be someone at the game Michelle's at that it gets into a fight because it happens.
I hope it's not me. I really hope I don't have another black guy on the show.
Oh, God. It's not going to be you, but I think that the reality is if you're wearing a Blues hat, which you have every right to do, and nothing should happen to you as a result of that, if the Rangers score a goal, and if you're sitting next to someone that is a Rangers fan, they will heckle you a little bit.
Yeah, and here's the thing.
Chirping is fandom. What makes it fun.
Agreed.
It crosses a line when you're, you know, when it's anything physical, when you're throwing things at people, that's where the line gets crossed.
And I don't think Pat's disagreeing with that, though.
But by acknowledging that behavior is pervasive and being in a posture of just accepting it is utterly ridiculous.
888-SAY-ESPN. People want to jump in on some of these fan rules and behaviors here that are out there. Pat in Chicago listening on the ESPN app. What's up, Pat?
Hey, everyone. Good morning.
Morning.
Long-time Packers fan living in Chicago in enemy territory. Ooh. And seeing the two coaches together doesn't bother me at all because, like Roger said, Packers own the Bears. now, the Bears fans, though, they definitely would have some words, and you know that's on them.
Would you wear, though, Pat? As a Packers fan in Chicago, would you wear a Jordan Love jersey, let's say, to a Bears game in Chicago?
Yeah. No, I'm smarter than that.
Wow, so you would expect something?
See,
bad
that's,
to happen.
I mean, it's unfortunate, but it's real. I mean, your dad is a perfect example. CC, you were smart in that regard of like, hey, I got to protect you here. And make sure that nobody's coming at you.
But it shouldn't have to be like that.
I agree.
It should not have to be like
there's
that.
As Pat said, there's a lot of things in this world that shouldn't have to be that way.
No, that's fair, and I get it. I get it. I'm sitting here making a perfect world argument, but there are some things about fan decorum that has to change. Like, there are fans at the New England Patriots game this year that got killed.
Yeah.
Like, at some point, we got to say, hey, we can't allow these types of behaviors to become mainstream.
No, I guess
that's my whole point. Like the show, like when a visiting fan shows up with an opposing team's jersey on, you can heckle that person. You can berate that person. But anytime you start throwing stuff at people or you, for God's sakes, hit somebody.
Yeah.
That's where the line has to be drawn. That is not okay. And that person is not asking for it because they showed up in the visiting team's jersey.
Yeah, absolutely. So go to Bears Packers for a second.
Yeah.
I think Lambeau is one of those places in sports that's like hallowed ground, right? It's like a pilgrimage for a lot of sports fans to go to Lambeau Field. If I'm a Bears fan, I should be able to experience going there with all of the history and the grandeur of Lambeau Field without being worried that someone's going to punch me in the face because I'm wearing the jersey of my opposition.
You're right, but it's not true. Like, that's the thing. Everything you said is right, but like, I would not wear a Caleb Williams jersey if I'm a Bears fan to a Packers game at Lambeau. I go to Heat Knicks games in New York all the time. I tell my son, who's a big Heat fan, like, you know, underneath, if you want to wear it underneath. And we sit in an area where you're not probably going to get beat up as much.
Oh, you're in the suite. Oh, Evan.
Javonte.
Oh, okay.
Javonte. Is that a
That's
humble
definitely
brag?
A brag.
Come on.
There was no humble.
Thank you.
How dare you say humble? That was just a brag. Frank in Memphis, listening on 92.9 in Memphis. What's up, Frank?
Hey, man. I really enjoyed the show.
Thank you.
I don't think fans have a problem with coaches kind of hanging out together and going to dinner. I think where fans have a problem is when you've just played a tough game against an opponent and then there's some kind of love fest between the players after that. I think back in the day, I don't think you were seeing Larry Bird and Magic, you know, having a love fest, trading jerseys and hugging and shaking hands.
I mean, Magic and Isaiah literally kissed before the game.
That happened.
Right? I mean, there's always like a brotherly kiss on the cheek that those two would have before the games. You're right. Jersey exchange was post your time, right?
That was post my time.
Does it bother you?
No, it doesn't bother me to go. Think about it. It's a fraternity.
Yeah.
Like there's around 2,000 NFL players that are active in any given year. That's the size of a high school.
Yeah, it's a respect level.
Like, we all know each other. It's a mutual respect. Like, who else knows what we go through than the other guys that are on other teams? So,
exactly.
Like, and you have relationships. Some of those guys you might have played with in college.
Sure.
You've been knowing them for a long time. So, Yeah, I don't have a problem
See,
with
that's
it.
Hard for us as fans to understand because sure. we're not in it, right?
Because we're not in it. Yeah.
Right. So your first reaction when you saw the LaFleur Eberflus was like, this is nothing. Those are the only two people that can relate to each other.
No doubt.
Hey, I need to talk to somebody about what I'm going through work-wise. Who can I talk to? There's only 31 other versions of that. And not all of them live an hour and a half from you.
Totally.
Where you can get together and actually have a night together. You're 1,000% right. But I'm telling you, us as fans, we're fanatics. We don't like the visual of that stuff.
Sure, but you're still a human being. You should be able to rein in those emotions. And if you can't, go to therapy.
Better help, by the way. Didn't
Jalen Hurts wear a Houston Astros?
I couldn't believe he did that.
Didn't that happen?
During the World Series, no less.
Yeah, that's
right?
What I'm saying. Didn't that happen?
I thought that was crazy.
Yeah, but he's from Texas, so like I think that's fine.
That's acceptable.
That's acceptable.
You know what's not acceptable? The Micah Parsons. I know he's from Pennsylvania, wherever, but he shows up at a 76ers game with a tight Philly, a 76ers jersey, and then like a week later, he's at a Celtics game with a tight Celtics jersey on. Like, you don't do that. Like,
Front runner.
Exactly. Literally, I mean, it's the Cowboys, so it's literally that. Pat,
Jalen Hurts got a pass because they went into the Super Bowl after that.
And if they didn't,
yeah.
He got crushed for it when it happened, but then people were kind of like, we'll forget about that
playing
one.
Playing the results on that one, but yes.
But isn't that a little crazy, though, that fans have this certain expectation that players should not be fans of their teams, yes. of their city as well?
Yeah, we're fanatics. Well, look at what happened with Justin Fields.
But how does that make sense? Like, you're going to be able to love your city and your team so much, but Jalen Hurts can't do the same thing for his team and his city?
Yeah, it's illogical. It's impractical, is that a word?
Sure.
And it's not proper, but we do it anyway. I mean, look at what we did with Justin Fields saying LeBron over Michael. We went nuts. Saying, all right, that's it. He's out.
So actually, I'm glad you brought that up. So when do we start going after Caleb Williams for saying that Aaron Rodgers is his GOAT?
Yeah. It's interesting. I saw that clip.
He did
say Brady's the GOAT, but Rodgers is my GOAT.
Well, who the hell else is it going to be? Like...
That's a tough one.
Is there a quarterback in the Chicago Bears?
Man,
I grew up idolizing Jim McMahon.
But you could say Brady. You could say Brady.
Because
Brady just like, all right, whatever, default.
But
right?
Rodgers is with the Jets now.
Bears fans, he's a Packer, though, right?
He still owns the Bears.
Oof.
Oh, my God.
Last one here on this for now. Sugar Ray in Minnesota watching on ESPN News. What's up, Sugar Ray?
Hey, good morning, Evan, CeCe, and Michelle. Thank you guys for taking my call. I listen to you guys every day. I'm a diehard Packers fan, and I live here in Minnesota. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I had no problem with Eberflus and with LaFleur because Packer fans, if you've ever been to Lambeau, Packer fans are very friendly to you,
nice.
No matter what team you are. But for me personally in Minnesota, man, I have Green Bay Packers golf clubs. I have polos. I go out. I hear it a little bit from Viking fans, but they don't really say a whole much. Because, you know, I always tell them, you know, 4 Super Bowls, and then it's no conversation after that.
Mm. Well,
I'm sorry. It took me one Google search. Police eject 7 fans from Lambeau Field during Packers-Bears rivalry game.
By the way, I do have some breaking news. Sorry. Adam Schefter just put out that the Broncos are releasing former All-Pro safety Justin Simmons after 8 seasons in Denver. This will save the Broncos $14.5 million against their cap. He's an excellent football player. Somebody's going to be going after him quickly.
No doubt
here,
about
right?
it. Yeah.
Character guy, good guy, great track record. That is an important piece. That's a veteran pickup for a good team.
He'll have a job before the start of free agency.
So literally before Monday.
Yes.
Justin Simmons released by the Broncos. They are freeing up cap space, obviously, as they're using most of it on Russell Wilson, who's not on their team. We're on Sportsmanlike on ESPN Radio.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. We all carry around different stressors. I do, you do, we all do. Big, small, and when we keep them bottled up, as I sometimes have had happen in the past, it can start to affect us negatively. Therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down. It's helpful for learning positive coping skills and how to set boundaries. It empowers you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online. designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/unsportsmanlike today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/unsportsmanlike.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
Well, we got some NBA breaking news, ladies and gentlemen, that I hate saying this. It's mean, but whatever. Same breaking news we get every year. Ben Simmons out for the season.
That was mean. You said it's the same breaking news we get every year.
But you
year.
Know, I've been glass half full that with this mean. Guy. I've been glass half full. You guys know of like, hey, maybe this is the year where he turns it back around because I do think that there's mental as much as physical, but the Nets have announced that Ben Simmons, after consulting with specialists and treatment options for nerve impingement in his lower back, is done for the season. Hmm. What a reaction from Smalls.
I'm just, from Smalls. I'm just wondering, when was the last time we saw Ben Simmons put together 2 good months of basketball?
I can't tell you.
When was the last time we saw that?
Just practicing like with a cell phone.
He didn't play in the 21-22 season. Remember, there was the dispute with the Sixers. He had, you know, the mental health issues.
Yes.
I mean, he played.
Which we're not saying are not real.
No, we're just outlining.
I hate when
people
do that.
We're outlining here. Yep. Like he had the situation when he got to the Brooklyn Nets, where he only played in 42 games. Like, what is it, 42 games last year, and he's only played in 15 games this year. When's the last time Ben Simmons has put together 2 good months of basketball?
Can't tell you. Been a minute.
Like, I mean, for somebody that was an all NBA player once upon a time, a guy that was the first overall pick, you wonder if it's ever going to happen for him. And it's starting to trend toward no. So it's wild to say that because we are talking about a player that's still relatively young. He's 27 years old.
Jeez. Way younger than I actually thought, to be honest.
That's what I'm saying. He's 27 years old.
Would you ever take a flyer on him? He's going to be on an expiring deal next year. He never plays. When he does, there are many things he can theoretically do that other star player, he's not a star, but star players like playing with guys that do the things that they don't do or don't want to do as much. Austin Rivers sat here yesterday, or Tim Legler 2 days ago, whatever it was, and said, the Knicks are a viable option for stars. Why? OG will do the defense. Josh Hart will do the dirty work. Mitchell Robinson will block shots for you. Mm-hmm. You can be a star. We got all the other guys who can do that. What is Simmons good at? Defense and passing. Right? Like, what does a star want to do? Not play defense and score. Not every star, but just generally speaking. Would you ever take a flyer on this guy?
No, because I don't know that he's going to be available to play.
I tried hard on that setup.
Yeah, you did. You really sold it. I tried really hard.
How can you depend on that?
You can't. I'm just trying hard on the setup. And it didn't work.
Would you?
Well, I have wanted to in the past because of everything I just said, but sometimes your best ability is your availability.
You know, the last time Ben Simmons played over 60 games was the 2018-2019 season.
What?
Yeah. His third year in the league was the last time he played over 60 games.
Wow.
That's how long ago it's been.
Yeah, I don't think
I could do that. There's no shot, man. But Ben Simmons, boy, he's done well for himself. I know you're usually the one that brings up player contracts on this show. I'm just saying, Ben Simmons has done well for himself now. For not playing a whole lot of basketball in the last 3 years, he's sure made out now.
He secured the bag.
Well, at the end of this contract, you're talking about somebody that would have made over $200 million.
Now I'm going to put CeCe to the test here on this. Smalls, you
got
to help me on this.
All right,
we're
going
to really put CeCe to the test on
What's
this.
What's up?
Would you trade if the money were to work, and it doesn't, but I'm just making this up. As a Lakers fan, would you trade D'Angelo Russell for him, your least favorite player in the history of the sport? Player, not person. I'm not making it personal. I'm saying the player. You have openly said.
Sure, why not?
So he would take a flyer on him. Put the headline out there. Chris Canty wants Ben Simmons on the Lakers.
I can see you talking yourself into it.
Why not?
Go ahead. Tell me why.
He can get with LeBron James. Maybe he can.
He was represented by him.
Some of that greatness will rub off on him.
Sure.
You know, if LeBron might be able to get the most out of him. Similar build. Physical attributes. Maybe LeBron James can can put some of that magic on him.
Yeah, the pressure won't be on him. It's on LeBron and AD.
It's LeBron and AD's team. Exactly. He can just do what he does best.
It's amazing how that changed. Just talk yourself into
it. No, I still don't think it works out well. I just don't.
Right. I'm not saying it does, or it would. I just, you know, unfortunately, Ben Simmons out for the season.
I mean, who got the best out of that trade, though? I'm sitting there thinking about the James Harden, Ben Simmons trade. Did anybody win in that trade? Oh. Did anybody win?
No, if you don't mind, sorry to give everybody homework. Can you put the exact details of the trade up on the screen here? Because that may be exactly one of those trades that's good for no one.
Yeah, it's like we have the winner or the loser. Then we have win-wins. Is this a lose-lose trade?
And I always
is this a rare lose-lose trade?
One of my favorite trades ever in sports. And I remember back in the day when I was locally on ESPN West Palm interviewing Theo Epstein when he was the general manager of the Red Sox. If you remember, and I know you both will, Josh Beckett was traded for Hanley Ramirez. And I remember interviewing Theo Epstein. He said, that's exactly the kind of trade you want to make over and over again. I said, why? He said, you want to make trades as a general manager that work for both teams so you can engage in more trades in the future and conversations. This is one of these deals that worked for neither team.
Worked for nobody.
Right, like it worked for literally no one. All right, we got the exact deal. CeCe, what do we have here?
So Brooklyn got Ben Simmons, Seth Curry, Andre Drummond, a 2022 first that's unprotected, and then a 2027 first-round pick that is protected. Philadelphia got James Harden and Paul Millsap. That is the deal.
What was the 2022 first? What did that turn into? So I guess in this case, you have to say Brooklyn won because they still have a 27 first?
Yeah.
Yeah, probably.
I would say the picks.
They still have potential.
But then Philadelphia did flip James Harden. They got something for James Harden. I don't know exactly what that is.
They got expiring contracts. They got cap space.
Traded James Harden for cap space.
And picks. So... Yeah, wonderful, wonderful trade.
I think this is the rare lose-lose.
Now, that's a fascinating
trade. This is the rare lose-lose trade.
Where are there other lose-lose
trades?
Lose-lose trades
in sports. We got that. That is. We got to open that up.
888-729-3776. The lose-lose trade. Yeah. That's what we want.
I can think of a win-win, Stafford and Goff, right?
That's a win-win.
I gave you the Hanley and Josh Beckett a long time ago. That's win-win.
But lose-lose is harder.
A lose where both teams and organizations got worse as a result of interacting with each other. Like, hey, you know what? You want to get worse? Yeah. Do you? Yeah. All right. Here we go. And these are non-tanking teams.
It's basically like, I'll trade you my problems for your problems.
But that's what we said with James Harden and Ben Simmons. We said it at the time. James Harden was getting ready to put the fat suit back on in Brooklyn. Like, that was happening because he was fed up with the Kyrie, Kevin Durant of it all. And Ben Simmons, quite literally, was not playing for the Philadelphia 76ers, citing mental health concerns.
And when he was practicing with a cell phone in his pocket fell out.
I remember that.
That they claim was not a cell phone. But, we saw him talking on it, but it wasn't a cell phone. The lose-lose trades in sports. You don't hear that question asked a lot, but you do today on Unsportsmanlike. 888-SAY-ESPN, at UnsportsESPN. Best examples of lose-lose trades in sports. We're Unsportsmanlike on ESPN Radio. We all know breakfast is an important part of your day. But sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
We are almost there. March Madness right around the corner. His team is 23-7, 12-5 in the SEC. He is Bruce Pearl, and he's the head coach at Auburn. And he joins us here at Unsportsmanlike along with Michelle Smallman, Chris Canty, Evan Cohen. Coach, let's start with this. We could talk about all the basketball stuff, but there is a story about somebody within your basketball family that is so much greater than basketball. Tell the world who Sam Cunningham is.
Sam Cunningham is my assistant. And I guess about 6 years ago, when Sam was a sixth grader, he came to basketball camp. And he wasn't very big, but I kind of noticed him because he was flying around out there and having fun. And about 6 months later, his mom called me and he says, "You remember that little guy that was at your basketball camp?" And I vaguely remembered him. He said, "Coach, he's been diagnosed with a really rare form of leukemia, and he's really down. Do you think you might reach out to him and just encourage him?" And that's how our relationship began. We've been friends over the last, 6 years as he was getting ready to maybe go to college. And I told him, I said, "Listen, you're going to outlive this. You're going to beat this cancer. Cancer picked the wrong hombre. And when you do that, you're going to come to Auburn. You're going to be my assistant." And all the story is about is just Sam's courage, the miracle that life is in him. And he's living his dream. And so am I.
Coach, this time of year, we always start to talk about the NCAA tournament. That gets a lot of our focus about the quality of competition, the conferences overall. The Big 12 and the Big East have gotten a lot of the headlines, but your league, year in, year out, has very, very tough competition. I think it's five teams in the top 25 as of right now. Talk to us about the difficulties in navigating the SEC schedule and why the depth of the conference should lead to more teams in the SEC being in the NCAA tournament.
Well, Chris, it's a grind. I mean, it is every night. You got two games a week, and there are no easy outs. And I think that, like, when you look at our league right now, when you look at Arkansas, who is, going to finish probably in the bottom four teams of our league, holds wins, over, let's say, Duke, or it just sort of tells you how good the league is, right? Tennessee is our champion right now. They won last night at South Carolina. I think they're very much a deserving regular season champion. I think there are 6 to 8 teams that could win the SEC tournament, although the favorite is obviously, Tennessee. Kentucky is as talented as anybody and probably that one team that you don't want to see in the NCAA tournament too early on because of how well they're playing, how explosive they are offensively. South Carolina is a great story because they were picked worst and they had a chance to finish first. Todd Golden's got things turned around at Florida. We're having another great year at Auburn. Alabama's good again. It's a great league and it doesn't take a backseat to any conference in this country.
Coach, the tournament is right around the corner. Stylistically, what's different between coaching in the regular season and coaching in the NCAA tournament?
Well, it's one and done. You snooze, you lose. You miss a few shots, you get in foul trouble, you have a couple of bad turnovers, and you don't go to practice the next day. It's over. So the stakes are high. And then the other thing, too, is on the other side is to the victor go the spoils. The whole world is watching college basketball in March. And, you only have to win 2 games to get to the Sweet 16. And when I say only, I mean we've all had gone on winning streaks before. And so you compartmentalize it for the kids. You show them how terribly small it is. And yet the prize, is so very, very big. But it is there's nothing like March Madness. You guys know that. There's nothing quite like it in sports. It gives a little guy the opportunity to go up against a big guy and winner take all. There's so much drama. And listen, these college kids, I know they look like men. They're not. They're still college kids. They're still 18 to 23 or 4 years old, and they're playing every night like their life depended on it.
We're talking with Bruce Pearl, of course, head coach at Auburn here on Unsportsmanlike on ESPN Radio, along with Chris Canty, Michelle Smallman, Evan Cohen with you. Now, the court storming has become a huge issue in college basketball. There is no college basketball coach more adept with talking about this because no college basketball coach is more of a famous fan than Bruce Pearl, who went shirtless with all kinds of makeup and paint to Tennessee women's games back in the day. So now I'd like to ask you your thoughts on court storming, both from your experience as a fan and as a coach, Bruce.
Yeah. Well, thanks for bringing that up again, Evan. My wife sure appreciates that you're reminding America, looking at the incredible bulk. I'm not in favor, which I know may surprise you because I am a fan friendly coach and we've always worked hard to generate great home court advantage. I think we've stormed the court maybe once here at Auburn, maybe twice. I'm not really sure. But I've been on the other end of it and it can be really, really dangerous. At Arkansas 2 years ago, I barely got out without getting pretty severely hurt and trampled. Tripped and sort of fell, and one of my assistants was on my arm and prevented me from getting trampled. There's got to be a better way of doing it. Certainly, there's got to be a better way of administering it, whether it's to get the opponent off the floor seconds before, or having real security, carding off, where the benches are going to be. The problem is so often the locker rooms are on the other side of the floor. And that's where it becomes, a real, real challenge. So, we're going to get fans hurt. We're going to get student athletes hurt. We already have to a certain extent. So, I'd like to find a way to celebrate without it.
Coach, in recent years, both in the professional leagues and the collegiate ranks, we've seen postseason expansion. The NFL has done it. The NBA has done it with the play-in tournament. We're seeing it now with college football and them expanding the playoffs. There's been talk about expanding the NCAA tournament. What's your take on postseason expansion when it comes to college basketball?
You know, Chris, they say if it's not broke, don't fix it. So if you made me make a decision on that, I would probably go there. Right now, 68 teams out of 320-something are qualified for the tournament. I think it's a very, very selective field. I think it's inclusive, but it is very selective. I would be okay with increasing it a little bit more. I'd love to see a few more of those mid-major conference champions that maybe get upset in their conference tournament, find a way to get in it. Because that right now, the only way you can get in it for a mid-major is if you win your conference tournament champion. It wouldn't bother me to see an expansion of a few more teams, but I wouldn't get it to blow it up any more than it is, because it's not broke. It works.
Well, speaking of the tournament, Coach, a lot of people are digging into various teams as they get ready to fill out their brackets. You're having a great season at Auburn, number 13 in the AP Top 25. Tell us why your team is so dangerous heading into the tournament.
Well, I don't know whether we are, Michelle, actually. No, you know what?
Well, tell us why dangerous. Not then.
No, we are. We've had a really, really good year. And but you know what? It's hard to reflect when we're right in the middle of it right now. You know, we've got a game Saturday against Georgia. And if we win that game, we'll finish one game out of first place and got a chance to finish third in our league, which is really good in a league that is as good as this league has been. Michelle, what makes us potentially dangerous is our depth. We're only as good as the sum of our parts, and we've got a lot of different weapons. I think we got a great player in Jani Broome, who's one of the best centers in college basketball. Maybe not everybody's talking about, but he's a guy that can do it both inside and out, offensively and defensively. We've got a really good front line. I think our front line can play with anybody. We've got some guards like Chad Baker-Mazzara, Denver Jones, Aiden Holloway, Trey Donaldson, that are very, very versatile and dangerous and can sport both ends. KD Johnson, Chris Moore. It's the sum of our parts. And so Auburn goes 10 deep, and we can withstand foul trouble. We can withstand if a guy's not having a great night, and we've been there before. And our expectation is to advance come tournament time.
Coach, let's finish with this. So much has been made about NIL and college football. We haven't talked as much about it with college basketball. How has it impacted you and your program and the sport in general?
Well, Evan, I'm glad for the student athletes that they're able to benefit more realistically from their scholarship and from their value, because obviously you guys are talking about the tournament. It is big, big business, and that's what's changed over the years. I was always a tuition, room, board, books, fees, the college education, but the math changed so much financially for everybody, for universities, for coaches, for every except the student athlete, and that was unfair. That's been corrected. Now right now because there is not a whole lot of order to the NIL. And I think the combination right now that we have of really limitless NIL with the fact that student athletes can transfer whenever they want, wherever they want, without any kind of having to sit out, there are no contracts. There is basically free agency for every player every year. The two dynamics together make the offseason way too volatile. It doesn't need to be that volatile. We need to allow the market to work so the student athletes can benefit. But at the same time, we need to bring more order into the process. And right now there isn't. The game has never been better on the court. I mean, the game is outstanding right now, the way it's being played, even the way it's being officiated, the way the game has worked. We're going to have a phenomenal tournament. The best teams in the country, the number one seeds, they're going to be hard to beat. They're really, really good. But we always know there are going to be some upsets. But there does need to be work in college basketball in the offseason without NIL and the transfer portal and roster management that provides some more order to our game.
Coach, you mentioned that there are no player contracts, and staying with the player compensation angle, because of litigation that happened with student athletes at Dartmouth, they are now in position to be viewed as employees of the university because they're student athletes. I'm curious to know, from your perspective, do you think collegiate sports as a whole would be more, I guess, more organized if we did view the student athletes as employees of the university?
You know, Chris, I wouldn't go there. Because I think what that's going to do, it's going to limit some things for the student athletes. It's going to put them, as employees. They're going to get benefits, but they're going to have some more responsibilities and also may limit some of their compensation. So I still think it's best for them to be independent of being termed an employee. And I just think that what needs to happen is when I'm talking about order is. You know, there's a certain amount of revenue that the football, you know, the NFL or Major League Baseball or the NBA has. And there is some agreements to about how long people have to stay and should stay. And I think that needs to all come together. But I don't think it's in the student athletes' best interest to become employees.
Bruce Pearl and his Auburn team will take on Georgia this Saturday, 6:30 p.m. Eastern. Game will be seen on the SEC Network, and always kind enough to join us. Thank you, Coach. We appreciate it.
Okay. Good to see you again, Evan. Thank you, guys.
All right. There is Bruce Pearl, head coach at Auburn, joining us here on Unsportsmanlike on ESPN Radio. Obviously, a lot to digest there that we will do over the coming days and weeks around March Madness. We do have some big NBA breaking news relative to a big injury for a top team we will get to coming up. But first, TC has this. From Grainger.
Yes, for the ones who get it done. Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Electric E-Bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome. So you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's electricebikes.com.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
All right, time to win some money.
Canty's best bet.
I'm talking dollar bill, y'all. We're chasing that bag, y'all.
Of the night.
We're going to get CC's best bet in a second here. But we got big breaking news in the NBA. Adrian Wojnarowski reporting Minnesota Timberwolves all-star forward Karl Anthony Towns has a meniscus injury in his left knee and is evaluating options. Sources confirmed to Woj and to Brian Windhorst. Towns and the Wolves are working to get a full understanding of the degree of the injury and whether it demands immediate action, including surgery, sources said. As of Thursday morning, it was unclear about how much time Towns will be required to miss, if any, according to sources. Towns' injury was first reported by The Athletic. That is something that is remarkable here with this injury, because we've been talking the entire time, about the one and the two seeds in the Western Conference. When we're talking about the NBA, and are they vulnerable because of past experiences or lack thereof?
Yeah.
You're taking the second or third best player who's an former all-star in Karl Anthony Towns, potentially, as Woj is reporting, potentially out of that lineup. That is a major blow to them.
Yeah, you're talking about a guy that scored 60 in a game this season. Like, that's the kind of talent that Karl Anthony Towns is. I mean, you still got Anthony Edwards and Rudy Gobert, but that's a big, big piece of what the Timberwolves do. So, yeah, I mean, it does feel a little ominous to get this kind of news, and you have to wonder what's going to happen from here forward with the Timberwolves' prospects of being able to stay at the top of the Western Conference.
Yeah, and when Woj is reporting, we'll see timetable, et cetera, what that tells me, and obviously Woj knows everything here, and he will report it as such, that tells me Towns is trying to figure out, can I play through this thing?
Yes.
Because I may never get an opportunity like this again.
And indefinitely is never a word you want to hear when it comes to injuries, especially at this point in the season.
Yeah, not I mean, but he could play it tonight. Well, he's not going to play tonight, but you get what I'm saying. Like, he could play immediately and just be like, screw it. You know what? I don't care how badly I hurt myself. We could potentially go to the finals this year. I can't lose out on that. That is a tough blow for the T-Wolves. They are playing tonight, right?
They are playing tonight, and that's where I'm going to go for our best bet. We did win last night, all thanks to the Clippers and their nice win over the Houston Rockets. We took them laying the 4.5. The Clippers won by 6. And then we took James Harden over 23.5 total points and rebounds. James Harden 21-5 last night. 21. So hit on that one. So tonight, we're going with the Indiana Pacers on the money line against the Timberwolves. I'm fading the Timberwolves with the Karl Anthony Towns news. Okay. And I'm going over on point total. Now, I teased it down to 220.5 total points in the game. So 220.5 total points, take the over, and the Pacers on the money line pays out at plus 166.
He survived a terrible, terrible moment in our history.
The most unsportsmanlike moment of the day.
That was terrible.
Was not a great look.
Let me just say, before we get to this unsportsmanlike moment of the day, please, I'm begging you, CeCe, never do this to me. And never do this to Smalls. I don't think you ever would. But on NBA Today yesterday, well, just watch and listen to the first part of what happened with Kendrick Perkins and Richard Jefferson.
Okay, golden opportunity. Go ahead, give me a slap across the head.
Wow.
But anyway, Richard Jefferson hit Kendrick Perkins. Why? Because Kendrick Perkins wrote off the Heat earlier this season, said that the Heat should trade Jimmy Butler, and had Richard Jefferson slap him in the head. If CeCe slapped me in the head, I think I'd be dead.
I would never do that.
I know you would never do that.
And I would never ask somebody to do that for me.
I'm not going to ask anybody to hit me.
But you know what? It's crazy, though. There are some players in the past that have done that. Like, I remember John Henderson, a defensive tackle for the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Tennessee, right?
Tennessee. He was notorious. He used to get one of the athletic trainers to slap him in the face and get him ready to go out there and play a football game. Like, he would just tell the guy to slap him, and he said, nah, you got to hit me harder than that. And the trainer would literally slap him as hard as he could.
Like, wind up?
Yeah, wind up and slap him.
And it would activate him.
And it would activate him. Get him going. Get him ready for the game. Let me tell you what I ain't going to never do is ask somebody to slap me.
I could not be further from that.
Exactly.
I think I understand where John Henderson's coming from. As a terrible high school football player, my jersey behind me, by the way, for those watching on ESPN News right now, I was always tentative until I got hit. I needed to get hit. I should have thought, I don't know if we even had a trainer. I should have thought about that. Should have had the trainer hit me before the game, and then I would have been good to go.
Yeah, but there's a difference, though. Like, getting hit with a helmet on is different than getting slapped in the face without one.
We're talking
that's
open palm smack in the face?
Yeah, well, I'm literally about to show it to you right now.
Okay.
But look at what Perkins did yesterday. Right, he had RJ slap him in the head. So do you think RJ, Richard Jefferson, made the wrong move by doing it? He should have said, hey, I'm not doing this?
No, if someone offers it up, you take it. You take it. Okay,
the whole slap him in the face thing, I just don't understand it.
I don't understand
why you would want to get slapped in the face.
Well, he got slapped in the head yesterday. Richard Jefferson slapping Kendrick Perkins in the head. More unsportsmanlike moments. Something weird, something different, something quirky. How about Klay Thompson? We know he does this, but every single time he does this, I think it's amazing. Klay Thompson takes a boat to work.
I love it.
Klay, and he puts it out there on his IG, and he's literally just driving in on his boat to work every single day. And he shows everybody the view of the bay going to work every single day.
He said the water was glassy. Perfect commute to work.
Is this the, would you rather drive in on a boat or have a driver drive you in a car?
A boat, no doubt.
Boat is boss.
That is a very, very cool way to arrive to work.
Yeah, and everybody's saying, could he leave in free agency? Would they not want him back? How many other cities are going to have boats for him to drive to work into?
Also, the vibes are so high when you're on a boat. I think that's
God.
A perfect way.
He just
way
showed me the John Henderson slap.
And just to go back to the slap really quickly, not only does a trainer slap him really, really hard in the face, then he just grabs his helmet, puts it on, and he's going to work.
He was really good, John Henderson. He was a really good... Yeah, guys are different today. Back in my day,
no, I don't. Back in anybody's day, I don't think that like that. Who wants to get slapped in the face?
Who was the one guy you could see doing it today that would need a slap in the face before he took the field?
Somebody that you would slap in the face before they took.
So you're actually saying not that they would deserve it, but they'd be so crazy.
They
want
to be activated, yeah, like that.
In the NFL,
yeah, it does feel like we have gone away from that type of play.
My favorite non-quarterback, maybe Trent Williams.
I could see Trent. Well, no, I know Trent Williams, though. I don't think he was.
They have the boombox, which
you
I don't
roll like. I love the boombox.
The boombox is so
love
cool.
The boombox.
I mean, Aaron Donald trains with knives.
No,
that's
but
a
he's
great
like,
point.
But he feels like so. I don't get him. He feels like the kindest, sweetest guy.
He doesn't seem crazy enough to be able to do
that. No, he definitely.
Yeah.
But he trains with knives, so
he
there's
does
some
train with
crazy
knives. That is a real thing.
My last unsportsmanlike moment it stays in L.A. with football. There was a backup quarterback of the Chargers. You know his name? Easton Stick?
Yes.
Right. Well, everybody laughs at that name because that's the name of a hockey stick company.
Yeah.
Well, last night he was at the Anaheim Ducks game and had an Easton stick.
Nice.
They actually gave him an Easton stick.
He had an Easton.
Easton stick with an Easton stick. So there you go. Unsportsmanlike moments of the day. All right. Greeny is coming up next.
Uh-oh.
Maybe Cam Hayward from the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Cam Hayward's a good one.
Cam Hayward.
That is a good one.
His dad's nickname was Ironhead, so
that
it kind of makes sense. It tracks.
Fullback.
Hurt your hand to hit
him. Yeah, exactly.
Are you going to get yelled at by Greeny today?
I think it would hurt you more to slap Cam Hayward than the actual slap would hurt him.
Probably.
Yes.
Yeah, I'll be on with Greeny in 25 minutes. I got destroyed yesterday by Greeny for all my quarterback rules. He spent an entire segment annihilating me.
Oh, he hated him.
You have quarterback rules?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they're pretty not great.
Not great per Greeny and everybody else in the show. We'll see what happens. So Greeny coming up next. We are on to Friday. We're on Sportsmanlike on ESPN Radio.
Thanks for listening to the Unsportsmanlike podcast on ESPN Radio. You can listen to Unsportsmanlike live weekdays from 6 to 10 a.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, and on SiriusXM Channel 80. You can also watch on ESPN2 and on ESPNU. Unsportsmanlike with Evan Canty and Michelle.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's LECTRIC ebikes.com.